John 12. Aren't we having a wonderful time going through the Gospel of John? We're already past halfway. There's only 21 chapters in John, and we're up to chapter 12. But what a blessed book, the book written to present Jesus Christ to the world as God. And here in chapter 12, we see that things are progressing in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's raised Lazarus from the dead and taught the things that he taught. And here in chapter 12, things take a turn. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." So we see that Christ returned back, and then they had a supper. Basically a celebration supper of the raising of Lazarus. And Mary took the opportunity to anoint the feet of Jesus with this very expensive perfume. And another opportunity to teach us some lessons. So, not that he cared for the poor is our title. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word now to teach us. Thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege. We love you. We give you this service. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So we see in verse 3 this spikenard was very costly. So this was, many times that it would be a financial thing to purchase this sort of ointment or perfume. It was actually a way of like storing up a savings account, if you will. But this when they say very costly, they usually meant like a year's wages worth. And Mary, of course, didn't care. She decided that Jesus was worth it. Amen. And it's not the first time that this sort of thing happened. We saw in Mark 14, a woman took an alabaster box of ointment, very similar situation, and anointed the head of Jesus. We see a widow in Luke 21 give all that she has. And Jesus used her as an example of giving, remember? And so he was teaching that it wasn't so much the amount, but the sacrifice that God sees. And that was the case here. This would have been a big sacrifice for Mary. She wouldn't have been wealthy necessarily, but to be able to, or her to give something like this to Christ was a big deal, if you will, from a financial point of view. And yet, this is, you know, what putting Christ first is all about. If you go to 2 Corinthians 8, we'll see where Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians about giving. And he uses the Macedonian churches as a example to try to teach the Corinthians a lesson. And notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So in the midst of poverty, they still were very liberal in their giving for the Lord and for the Lord's work. And Paul said, this shows what happens when people are relying and trusting on the Lord. He gives them the grace of giving, and they trust the Lord. And that's what Mary was doing here with this very expensive ointment. And so she, unlike the other woman who anointed Christ's head, she anointed Christ's feet, which would have been, in Bible times, one of the ultimate signs of humility, to anoint someone's feet. If we go to Luke 7, we'll see this, Luke 7:37. And of course, remember, Jesus said that was a sign or an example of servanthood in John 13 when he washed the disciples' feet with water. But notice here in Luke 7, verse 37, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with her tear with tears, and then wipe them with the hairs of her head, and so forth. And so again, we see this ultimate sign of humility to get down on your knees and actually wash someone's feet. And that's what Mary did here. And then it says there in verse 3 of John 12 that she actually wiped his feet with her hair. So rather than use a towel, she used her own hair as a towel and as a wash rag, if you will. So Judas Iscariot, we all know who that is. The one that's going to betray Jesus for money. He's the one that asks the question, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? So that's a lot of money. And given to the poor. What a good question. Why wasn't this money given to the poor instead of, basically he's saying, wasted on anointing the feet of Jesus? And, you know, what fascinates me, even as you think about the current election in America, it seems like that the people that push socialism the hardest are the people that have the most, which I've never been able to get my head around that one. All these wealthy people in America are always going on and on about socialism. It's like, well, socialism isn't what made you rich. But, you know, they say, we want to make sure everybody gets more, just as long as it's not ours. And this wasn't about, as it says here, it's not because he really cared about poor people, was it? It was because Judas Iscariot was a thief. But we have other examples. We have Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What happened there? They sold a piece of land. They came, and it was a voluntary offering. Nobody had ordered them to make an offering, but they wanted to impress everybody with what they were doing. And so they said, we sold the land for this much and we're giving it all. And they lied. They actually sold it for this much and only gave a portion of it, but they told everybody they gave it all. They did all of that not because they cared about God or giving to God or being liberal for God. They did it because they wanted the praise of man. Mary wasn't looking for the praise of man, was she? She just wanted to be a blessing to Jesus. And I believe that we need to be careful to always back up our profession with true biblical behavior. You know, as Paul says, becometh the gospel of Christ. And Mary here was showing true biblical humility, generosity, liberality. We could go on and on through this amazing thing that she did with this expensive ointment. So the Bible says in verse 7, let her alone against the day of my burying. So here Jesus already, we're only in chapter 12, he's already beginning to prophesy of his death. The disciples don't get it yet, but Jesus is already beginning to warn them that he will be buried, that he will die. So go to Mark 14, verse 7, and I want us to think about this statement that Jesus made here. The poor you always have with you. What an interesting statement. Because governments try so hard to say, well, we just can't have poor people. So we're going to fix it. We're going to take it from the people that have, and we're going to give it to the people that don't have. And that way there's never going to be any poor. But Jesus says, and he's God, amen, the poor you always have with you. In other words, there's always going to be the poor. So notice Mark 14, 7. For ye have the poor with you, here it is again, always. And whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. He said, you're always going to have the poor. And yes, it's biblical to be a blessing when you have an opportunity to be a blessing to a poor person. But you're not going to do away with poverty. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. Isn't that interesting? But we keep trying, don't we? Jesus said it is going to happen. We are to be generous to the poor. That's an Old Testament scripture truth. That's a New Testament truth. We'll just grab one Old Testament, Proverbs 28:27, and then we'll look at a New Testament. There's no question that we are commanded as God's children to be a blessing to the poor whenever we can. Notice Proverbs 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So, as Solomon says here, when you give to the poor, God sees it, and God will bless you. And the principle, you know, of Luke that says, given it shall be given unto you, Luke 6:38, will come true. So be a blessing to the poor. Luke 14, now a New Testament verse about us being a blessing to the poor. The Bible says, but when thou may, Luke 14:13. I didn't give you the verse. So Luke 14:13, but when thou makest a feast, look what it says. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Be a blessing to the poor. Paul in Galatians says we should remember the poor. And go to Ephesians 4:28. We'll just look at one more on this. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I love that verse. So a former thief gets saved. God says the best thing a former thief can do is learn to give away what he earns. Which is the opposite of being a thief, isn't it? A person who's generous with what he has. He says, rather let him go out and labor, working with his hands, and earn money so that he can give to him that needeth. The opposite of being a thief. Jesus says, you will always have the poor. You know, Judas Iscariot says this is very costly. Why didn't we sell it and put it in the bag and use it for our ministry? Give it to the poor. But it wasn't because he cared for the poor. And how sad is that? Jesus said, you will always have the poor, but you will not always have me. He says, I'm only here for a short time on the earth, and she is being a blessing to me. And that is far more of a blessing, if you will, than anything that you could do with what you have. I mean, imagine if Jesus was here today physically, we would want to do anything we could for him. And so Jesus says, let her alone. She's done what she could. She's a blessing to me, and she has anointed my feet for my upcoming burial, which isn't far away as of John chapter 12. So be careful when people make these sorts of statements. A lot of times there's some underlying things that is the truth. And as the Bible, because we have the Bible, we know the truth. Verse 6, he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So it says, verse 6, not that he cared for the poor. So even though he said that, he didn't care for the poor. The people that care for the poor are people that just are a blessing to the poor. They don't go around saying these things. They just do it. And when you have opportunity, be a blessing to the Lord. Amen. The Bible says the liberal soul should be made fat in Proverbs 11:25. Be liberal for the Lord and he will always bless you, as we saw there in Proverbs 27. And what a great example Mary was. She said, I've got Jesus here. I'm probably not going to ever have him in my home again. I've got this expensive ointment. I'm going to use it right now for Jesus. And she broke it and anointed his feet and wiped it with her hair. What a beautiful thing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this.